You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The CDC recommends inmates follow similar guidance to those of us outside the prison walls. 6-foot distances, wear a mask, wash your hands. But there are other factors outside of the inmates' control that have caused high rates of COVID-19 infection and at least 25 deaths in the state's prison system. The communal-style facilities and cramped cells are just a few factors to consider. And while some inmates 65 and older have completed or begun the vaccination process, many remain unvaccinated for the time being. Vanessa Swales is an investigative reporter with Wisconsin Watch. She's been reporting on COVID-19 in Wisconsin's prisons. Vanessa, thanks for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me on.
Vanessa, can you give us a general sense of how bad it was in our prisons over the last year?
Yeah, so the coronavirus has pretty much run rampant across Wisconsin's state prison system, infecting at least 2,491 staff members at adult institutions, and these are self-reported tests, test results, and 10,873 inmates throughout the pandemic. That's more than half of the current prison population. The state has detected infections among inmates at a rate more than 5 times higher than in the general population. The numbers are highly concerning for prisoners, criminal rights advocates, and medical experts, which is, you know, as you look at the numbers, it's obvious why.
And can you talk about why these are such high-risk places? I mean, some of it seems obvious. Lots of people living together day after day in a small area.
Yeah, so, I mean, as of March 5th, the state's 19,539 inmates are filling facilities designed to hold only a little more than 17,000 people, individuals. So overcrowding is a huge component. Of the more than a dozen inmates who I interviewed, many said that the main reason for such large rates is overcrowding. Also, the continued use of communal bathrooms, barrack-like sleeping arrangements, day rooms, telephones, along with inconsistent restrictions on gathering and movement, leave prisoners too close to other prisoners and staff, which allows COVID-19 to spread freely. You know, in some cases, some prisoners told me that they witnessed infected individuals not being separated from others or properly quarantined. And, you know, staff not really following the DOC masking mandate, or at least it was uneven and inconsistent in a number of facilities.
There was talk early on from Governor Evers and others about releasing low-risk inmates, low risk of offending if they were let out of prison, to reduce those numbers, reduce overcrowding. To what extent did that actually happen?
I mean, so Governor Evers' promise, I mean, during his campaign was really, you know, hasn't really been fulfilled, and to the dismay of many advocates. The prison population, however, has been cut by about 3,400 individuals since March 2020. You know, that dip includes the agency's limits on taking inmates from county jails during the pandemic, as well as their early earned release program, which has allowed 2,100 non-violent offenders over the past year to pursue substance abuse treatment instead of prison. And then the release of elderly inmates with or who also have health conditions. And that's about 16 people. So that's only a sliver of Wisconsin's roughly, you know, 20,000 prison population.
How do we compare to other states in handling this issue?
So compared to Wisconsin, most states have confirmed more COVID-19 deaths among inmates when adjusted for population. But Wisconsin actually ranks eighth in infection rates as of this week. When I reported this story, it was ranking 10th, and this was 2 months ago. And this is data collected and tracked by the Associated Press and the Marshall Project.
And you start your piece off at WisconsinWatch.org talking about the story of Calvin Johnson. Can you tell us about the concerns he tried to raise and how he was ultimately exposed to the disease himself?
Yeah, I mean, his story, I will say, has hit me pretty hard as a journalist and as a person. He was desperately trying to have his sentence reduced due to health issues, health concerns. And he had diabetes, sleep apnea, and he truly felt that he was going to die of COVID. And this was according to his former cellmate, Randy Forsling. And you know, tracking his particular case sort of almost highlighted why Wisconsin's prisons are designed to be dangerous in some cases. You know, these individuals are in a very confined space. It's not like what's happening in the real world where we are able to actually social distance and separate ourselves from people. So his story really shows the dangerous nature of what's happening inside prisons.
Now, vaccines are going around in the general population, slowly expanding to bigger groups. What's the story of vaccines in Wisconsin prisons, especially for those older or at-risk inmates, and I guess staff members for that matter?
Yeah, so the latest version of phase 1B of the vaccine rollout, prison populations are being vaccinated. DOC healthcare staff started receiving vaccines in January. Correctional staff are now eligible and being vaccinated. That's about 2,600 staff at least, according to the DOC. But, you know, there are some who are refusing to take to receive the vaccine. When it comes to inmate vaccinations, however, the DOC has been incredibly vague about the exact number, at least when I have been speaking with them. They usually refer me to the Wisconsin DHS vaccine eligibility page, which really doesn't reveal much. But I can confirm anecdotally through interviews with inmates that vaccinations of prisoners 65 years and older began early to mid-February, and that now most, if not all, prisoners are being asked if they want to be vaccinated are in fact being vaccinated. I would say most want it, but again, some have chosen not to.
You mentioned that some of the tests for staff in particular were self-reported. I mean, to what extent do we know that the data we have about COVID infections and deaths at our prisons represents reality, or are there still gray areas where we're not sure really what's going on?
I mean, so when it comes to the self-reported tests, I mean, it is truly down to that staff member saying that they are not feeling well. So with those numbers, yes, it's a little fuzzy. It's really an honor system. When it comes to inmate deaths, which as it stands right now, it's 25 inmates who have died due to COVID. But I know anecdotally that there are more deaths than have been reported. And to be fair, in some cases, it's due to ongoing investigations being carried out on the deceased by county coroners. And that included Calvin Johnson and Clarence Gibbons, another inmate whose story I reported on. But, you know, for many criminal justice advocates, they fear even more inmates have died and that there is a lack of transparency with these numbers and what's happening behind prison walls. And it's really not telling the truth of what's happening and the risks that these people are being exposed to on a day-to-day basis.
In our last 30 seconds or so, the pandemic, I mean, there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's not over yet. What are you watching for next when it comes to COVID-19 and our state prisons?
Well, really just I'm truly looking and curious as to how many people are going to be having getting the vaccinations. You know, there have been some instances recently in Racine where some officers are refusing to be vaccinated, citing conspiratorial beliefs, such as the vaccine will give them COVID-19, for example. So I'm really tracking how consistent it is being rolled out within the prison system. And, you know, if there are going to be any more outbreaks, that is a concern for many prisoners and their loved ones. So that's what I'll be focusing on.
Vanessa, thanks for sharing this with us today.
Thank you so much.
Vanessa Swales is an investigative reporter with Wisconsin Watch. She's been reporting on the issue of COVID-19 in state correctional facilities. I've got a link to her article. You can find it at WPR.org/Central Time.